President was so right when he was speaking in Philadelphia. There are five major political blocks. They're going to be voting 275 seats. They're going to sit in the legislature for 4 years. And out of these seats, they will also pull a prime minister and a cabinet as well. So it really is this amazing art of self-governance. Five blocks: the United Iraqi Alliance, the Kurdistan Alliance, the Iraqi National List, the National Congress Coalition, and the Iraqi Accordance Front. And when you put all of those groups together, they're going to practice the art of self-governance like we have been doing for over 200 years. When you stop and think about it, it really takes practice. There's trial and error. You walk a few steps. Sometimes you stumble a bit, but you keep moving forward. We've done that. You ever stop and think what it would have been like to be in Philadelphia or the Continental Congress and hear the kinds of debates and people who may have been watching us, if they could have, and they would have said, those people are so diverse, there's no way in which they're going to be able to practice self-governance. And unfortunately, we have some in our own midst who are the naysayers of the day, who think that given the very different and various people groups of Iraq with their long, rich history, that somehow these people will not be able to practice the art of self-governance. Let me tell you why they will be able to do it. The president says it and says it again, and he says it with eloquence, and it's an absolute truth. Freedom is not America's gift to the world. It is God's gift to mankind. Fingerprinted on the walls of the human heart, yes, even the Iraqi human heart, is this desire to be free. Does it mean it'll be easy? Absolutely not. But they have to be given the opportunity to try. Someone who understands that is Mrs. Lynn Cheney. We appreciate her so much. An author, historian. She speaks with eloquence, and I appreciated the work she did as the chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Just gobbled up everything and anything she wrote. One of the brightest minds out there today. She's been involved with 8 separate books, including her most recent, called A Time for Freedom, which is very apropos for what we're going to be talking about today. Mrs. Cheney, what an honor to have you back again. Thank you for joining us.
I'm always happy to be with you, Janet.
Thank you so very, very much. You were speaking to a group of elementary school children and pointing out that there are some very interesting parallels between our founding and our practicing that art of self-governance and what the Iraqi people are experiencing.
You know, I like to think of this as a teachable moment. That's a word that educators sometimes use. You know, there are times when events really open kids' minds up in a way that makes lessons about history more interesting than they might otherwise be. Mm-hmm. And I think that the situation in Iraq, the vote of the Iraqi people the first time under the Constitution, not only makes them interested in learning more about what's going on, they love the idea of the purple fingers and the people holding up the V for victory sign, but to explain what an amazing thing this is, and then to explain that the Iraqi people are walking on a path that we started out on 217 years ago, and to talk about our own constitutional process. I just had so much fun today talking with elementary school kids at 2 different schools about this.
Well, do you realize that they have the privilege of seeing history in the making? It isn't very often that we get to see one form of government pass away and another one take its place, and to move from a totalitarian regime to this ability to vote and have every vote count, to hear the stories of people who will walk for miles, or the infirmed who've been carried by younger, stronger men to be able to get an elderly person to the polls. I mean, that is history in the making, and these kids have that front row seat.
Yes, and people risking their lives.
Yes.
You know, there are murderers, thugs, and suicide bombers out there that want to derail this election. And indeed, I think a Sunni leader was killed just yesterday, a man who was participating in the electoral process. Some Sunnis have not wanted to, and it's been very tough on the Sunnis who have decided to be part of this election campaign.
Yes.
But, you know, I talk to the kids about how when they're grown up, when they're adults, they're going to look back and say, gosh, I remember when that event happened. It'll be in the history books. And they'll say, I remember I was a fifth grader at Quantico Elementary School. And it's a way of helping them appreciate that history is not something that's dead and gone. It's alive right now and happening, and we have a front row seat on it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of the history in the making. 275 seats, 4 years for the term. Out of that, they'll pick their prime minister and the cabinet as well. And also, something I understand you pointed out to the children is the whole idea of the amendment process. Now, after the election, this will open the door to have some dialogue about amendments. They think that might be some acquiescence to some groups that might not be completely thrilled about the process, and yet again a parallel to our founding. Correct?
Yeah, it's true. You know, we had a close call with ratification in a few states, and one of the persuasive arguments was, if you ratify the Constitution, it will be open to amendments. Specifically, people wanted a Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
The people who wrote the Constitution thought that they had already taken care of rights in it, but many people didn't feel that way. And I think in hindsight, you know, it's so wonderful that we have the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. But guaranteeing them, telling them that they would have the right to amendment was crucial to their going along with ratification. And the same thing has happened in Iraq.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was thinking, if we're only paying attention, you know, sometimes one doesn't realize that history is being made until they look back or they read it in a textbook. But this really is a historic chapter of world history when we realize that not so long ago, there was this despot who was throwing people off of roofs and dipping them in acid baths and averaging 3,000 executions a day, to the point now where those purple fingers get raised in the air and they can have political debates and they can campaign instead of kill. That's a seismic shift for that country.
It must be, you know, pretty exciting to be in Baghdad right now and watch people pasting up campaign posters and listening to the radio and listening to people tell why they should be elected. It is an amazing thing, and it hasn't been an easy path. It hasn't always been neat. And one of the things that I think is interesting is to look back at our own path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took us a long time working with the Articles of Confederation to figure out that we needed a stronger central government, that we needed a constitution that would draw the whole nation together. So it wasn't easy for us either. We faced challenges and overcame them, and I'm confident the Iraqi people will too.
I am too, and I share your confidence. Mrs. Cheney, what do you think of the rather interesting dialogue that's occurring in some parts of our culture that talk about modern American history textbooks used in public schools where they really would rather that the teaching begin in the Civil War era and we just sort of skip what happened pre-founding and in our founding years? It seems to me that we would be making a glaring omission in their education, wouldn't we?
You know, I think that argument is usually advanced on the grounds that we never get to the near present. You know, we never get to the Vietnam War, for example. And I think that's a valid point of view, but the answer to it is not to foreshorten the period of history we teach, but to devote more time so that we can start with the founders and, or start even sooner, of course, start with the pilgrims and creation of the nation, the creation of 13 colonies. And then if you have enough time, you can do all of that and then move to the Civil War and then move to the present.
I share exactly your perspective. It would be, we wouldn't understand who we are, particularly when you look at some of the current cultural debates, whether or not there should be a wall of separation between church and state, what our founders thought, why they would have used the word endowed by our creator. What does that say about their worldview? And to take that out, I think, misses who we are today by forgetting who we were.
Or to listen to the pilgrims, to listen to the Puritans. You know, thank God for bringing them across the ocean.
Yes, except pretty straightforward direction. What about the naysayers that say, okay, they'll go through the election, and if we manage to get through Election Day without a lot of insurgency activity, well, it just portends for the fact that eventually there will be a civil war. That is obviously a glass-half-full perspective. Is that something that you think will take place?
You know, I don't think so. It's certainly a challenge for the Iraqi people, though, to bring the Sunnis into the process. And I've been amazed at the fact that they've made as much progress as they have, that they now do have Sunnis running for office. In fact, they had to fix the electoral process so that people could be elected by region as well as just by numbers. It's a parallel, again, in our own history to our deciding we had to have a Senate where, you know, every region could have two people or every state. And then also having the House of Representatives where you got represented according to your population. By being sure that Sunni areas will be represented, that part of the Constitution, that part of the electoral process is bringing the Sunnis in, and that's a very good thing.
Absolutely it is. Now here's where they do have one advantage over us at our founding, and that is right from the get-go, we've got women participating in this process, and that's a great thing.
That's exciting. You're right. It took us, I'm trying to think, 1787, 13 years till it's 1800, and then you go to 1900. That's 137 years before women got to vote.
Exactly, but now they get to do it right away in Iraq, which is absolutely fantastic. You know, again, the reports that I'm hearing, when the president was speaking in Philadelphia, I was so glad that he referenced one young man who said that when he walked down the streets of Baghdad, usually all they see is the dusty sandstone, but now political posters, and he said that it reminded him so much of America. And yesterday, a report that some in the insurgency are saying, we want you to get out and vote. So if they want to change hearts and minds through the ballot box, that's absolutely a strong indicator they're moving in the right direction.
It's a very exciting time, and it's so gratifying to have been part of this administration. You know, the president has just never wavered, neither has the vice president, in believing that we would succeed in Iraq. And as you point out, there's been a lot of naysaying.
Yes.
But we are making progress. We are on the road to success.
Excellent. Mrs. Cheney, just one quick last question, and that is A Time for Freedom. I know the book is doing well, but I also know with you there's always another book in the works. What can we expect next?
Well, I've been working on a book about all 50 states. When we campaigned in 2004, and in 2000, I was just struck, as I always am, by the amazing diversity of this country. You know, you go from the Rocky Mountains to the coast of California to the vast ranch lands of Texas. It's just an amazing place. And so I'm working with Robin Glasser, who's illustrated two of my other books, and we're doing a book on all 50 states.
Outstanding. I can't wait for that. Mrs. Cheney, thank you, as always, for reminding us that we truly have a privilege to see history in the making, and we are very blessed in that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Janet.